Hi, this is Ken Kennedy, and this is Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone, episode 87, for Monday, September 8th, 2014. Notice I was very clear on that date, where often I'm not sure about it, and I'm like, oh, I got to double check the date. The reason is because this is the third time I've done this, because I have determined that when a Zoom H1 tells you it has a low battery, some bitch has a low battery. I definitely need to watch that more carefully. Because I have done this podcast, and I think I was about 10 or 11 minutes in the second time. It's about 2 or 3 minutes in the first time. I had to stop anyway. I was like, haven't been in that long. I'll just reset it. And then I looked down and realized it had died. And for whatever reason, that didn't clue me in. Because I restarted it again with it giving me the low 1 bar battery message. Went on for about 10 or 11 minutes. And, then looked down and realized she did. So shame on me, or more appropriately, lesson learned. When the H1 gets to 1 bar on the battery, change the battery, which I had done. We should be good to go now. So, I've done this one 3 times now. So hopefully I'll zoom right through it. Got a couple things going on. First thing is I'm working on writing a review for Echopraxia, the written version of the podcast review. Well, let me rephrase. A written review that should be hopefully much better than the rambling podcast review that I gave a couple episodes ago for Echopraxia by Peter Watts. I like probably go at least a couple places. I like doing reviews at Goodreads. I've got not a huge amount there. Between six and 10, I would think, something like that. But I also definitely want to put it on Amazon, because Peter on his blog has not so subtly mentioned that he's been sitting there hitting the F5 refresh button to see how many podcasts he had available, or podcasts, how many reviews he had available. And that is definitely a valid point, you know, in our little cliques and stuff. You know, these are popular books within their grouping, but, you know, they're not huge bestsellers or anything. So one of the things that makes books stand out is how many reviews and, of course, positive reviews that they have. And my review is, hey, Rosie. Rosie came by to say hi. My review is definitely positive. So I'm going to have to get this thing written up well and definitely post it to both Amazon and Goodreads. Probably either tomorrow, could happen tomorrow, or more likely it'll happen on Wednesday. I'm driving to Atlanta, so I'll be in Atlanta in my townhouse by myself, not really doing anything other than playing World of Warcraft Wednesday night. So my guess is that it'll actually go up Wednesday night, but you never know. Might get finished tomorrow if I'm feeling froggy. So, but I definitely want to try and do a pretty good job, because I love me some Peter Watts and I love me some Echopraxia. And I want to make sure that other people realize that it's a absolutely fantastic Blindsight and Echopraxia. Go buy those books if you don't own those books. That's all I'm saying. Poof. I have to write a longer essay, or a longer review, but that's what I'm saying. So, oh, good Lord. I'm looking at Rosie, the teeny tiny hound, trying to overcome some, you don't need to get back in the back area, which I think she just did. No, she didn't. Never mind. Trying to block her from getting behind some of our furniture, so that if she gets back there, she can chew on cords and stuff like that, which wouldn't be healthy for her. And I thought she had overcome one of my barriers that I had placed up, but she didn't. Good deal. Then the other thing I'm doing is, which I'm kind of excited about, is booting natively to Linux again, which I have not done in some time. I started running Linux. I think I've said this on the podcast last year. I ran Yggdrasil, the World Tree. I think that was my first Linux distribution, and then I went to Slackware shortly after that. And this, we're talking like late 93. This is a long time, over 20 years ago. So I've done it for a long time, but I haven't in multiple years. I realized when I started thinking about this, it's been years. It's probably like four or five. I don't even know how many years that I really in general have not run Linux other than in a VM. I have plenty of VMs. I do pretty regular development work or testing or whatever in Linux VMs. I have a lot of those available to me. Other than one machine that I have set up specially, I call it Jack the Ripper. That's what he does. That's all he does. Enough said. But other than Jack the Ripper, I don't have a machine that boots into Linux, and I haven't for years. Although, let's say back early 2000s, almost every machine in my house booted to Linux by default, like in Grub. I had multiple machines that could boot into Windows, but they did not boot by default. They booted into Linux. I was a all Linux guy for quite a while, and it was more gaming and stuff like that. Although that's actually turning back as well. I need to start exploring the Steam stuff with the Linux clients and everything, because there's a lot of possibilities there. We went through a phase where it was like, if you're going to play games, you cannot, you know, you've just got to. And especially when Steam became, or Valve became important, it's like, yeah, you just had to go with them. So I took the VM way out and just started using VMs for everything. But A, I want to be able to go more native. I want to be able to do, you know, touch devices directly and stuff like that. So I think the direct install is going to be the best thing. And I've been futzing around, and I think actually what I'm going to end up doing, I've been playing around with live USB sticks because I got a really cool Windows base called Rubik. Crap, what's the name of that thing? Rubik. Here it is. I think, no, that's not it. But it's really small. If you want a tool to Rufus, that's the name of it. Rufus. This thing is another guy that like writes in very low level code. It's like a 650K utility that lets you write like ISOs to USBs. So it actually does a ton of stuff. Very flexible write to USB type manager, though. If you're looking to like write live CDs or something like that to USB, and you're on Windows, and you don't have the facilities on Linux, they're low level and they're creaky, but they all work. I definitely recommend Rufus. I'll put it in the show notes. I found it about a month ago, and it's very nice. Very easy. It works really well. But I'm actually not going. I was thinking about building a. I'm dropping into the weeds here, but, you know, hey, it's my podcast. I'll do what I want. Nerdfest time. I was thinking about building a Debian Live USB fob. Because I was going to like carve some space off the back end of my Windows 7 disk, you know, and I was like, and I don't have a huge amount of space left, so I'm like maybe 8 gigs, something like that. Usually on Linux, you don't need that much. I mean, Linux, if you're not playing games or something, it's, you know, it's not as big. So it's like I can live with 8 gig, right? And then I realized, hold on, if I just boot from a USB disk, from a USB, so if I create a live CD, the easiest way to do it would be create a live CD. Then take that live CD and tell it to install to a USB disk or a USB fob. And I have a 16 gig one, you know, it's like $20. So that's actually 16 gig instead of 8 gig. And as long as then, I mean, Grub's there, then Grub's going to be set up. But the main thing in Grub is what I need to do. I was just thinking about it. So I was like, I got to have the USB disk installed or the USB fob installed. But as long as I don't make the Linux boot, the default boot, if I leave Windows as the default boot in Grub, which is what I would intend it to be, because most of the time I'm going to boot into Windows still. I'm playing around with a little bit of open source stuff on Windows as well, and I'm trying to set up a good environment for that. But I definitely want to have this Linux environment available, but it'll just be on the USB disk, so, or the USB fob. So I'll have to have that installed, and then I'll choose it on the Grub Manager, and boom, off we go. I think all I have to do is get the order correct in Grub. At first I was thinking, oh, it's going to change my master boot record, it's going to screw things up, blah, blah, blah. But as long as I don't make the USB install the default, I should be fine. If I made it the default, I would be screwing myself. And so it'll probably be default for a little while, and I'll have to leave it in. But I'll leave it in, then I'll monkey around with the config, and I'll get things straightened out. So I'm kind of excited about that because, like I said, I haven't had a native Linux machine. Oh, crap. I tell you, cats standing on keyboards are very, very good at doing things that you don't have any idea what they just did. I think he created a directory. He moved things around. He did a search. Sweetheart, you're fine. We're live, so be quiet. We're live. Well, no, I'm not saying you don't have to be quiet, but I'm just saying if you don't want to be on the podcast, which you are now. You don't have to put him out. He's fine. He created a directory and did a search with his left back paw. I appreciate your help. So that's what we're up to in Linux Nerdland. So I think that's going to be the other thing I'm working on for the next few days. So that's about it for today. I think it'll be good. This has been Kenzoid's Autonomous Zone. The website is kenzoid.com, KENZOID.com. If you hear crazy growling in the background, that is Rosie playing with Lola, going nutty. Hopefully there's not going to be barking here in a second. I'm going to try and run this out quick. So we are, email address is kkennedy@kenzoid.com. The Twitter handle is Kenzoid. The Facebook and Google Plus profiles will be in the show notes. This podcast is Creative Commons licensed, not absolution, but attribution. Share alike version 3.0 United States. Thanks very much, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. See ya. Bye.